Well, it's great to be back with you after our journey to Italy, my wife and I. We either began each day or we ended each day with a prayer time together, and you always found your place in our prayers. We prayed for you every day. We know that you were praying for us as well, and it's just simply great to be back home with you. Would you pray with me, please? Oh God, your word is life and health and strength. Speak it to us through your Holy Spirit. Use this, your unworthy servant, to speak faithfully and truly of your honor and glory. And bless the church, and may we thrive for the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen. How to take the stew out of stewardship. I want to take a few moments right at the very beginning of this message to earnestly and sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart for the sacrificial commitment to Jesus Christ and to the Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church down through the years. You heard Debbie speak of her participation in this church for 30 years, which means that God has been faithful to this congregation because people like you have been faithful to God. To be a growing church means that we need to expand ministries and programs, and that requires volunteers, helpers, assistants, and generous giving. And so you've proven down through the years that you've done that. And I just want to say thank you so very much, because the witness of Jesus Christ that takes place in this place and among you is vital to our community. Every member and faithful friend of this congregation has something to give that God can use to strengthen this church and enable us to be a blessing to our community. And so I want to challenge you in this season of stewardship to renew your commitment to at least five things. And I want to draw your attention to the screen as I share those five commitments that I believe each one of us can make with God's grace and help. Number one, it's a good time for us to make a commitment to faithfully attend worship. We need you here. And you need to be here, because in that means is how the Holy Spirit helps us grow in grace. Number two, you can make a commitment to pray earnestly and sincerely for our church. Take some time out on a regular basis and pray for your church, pray for your elders, pray for your deacons, pray for the choir, the music ministry, pray for the preachers. We need that. And number three, it's a good time to make a commitment to find a place in this church where you can serve and use your talents. Many of you are. Lots of you are. But we need more. And so if you haven't yet found your place, if you haven't yet used your talent, this would be a great time to say to Jesus, I'm going to do it. By your grace, by your help, I'm going to find my place and I'm going to do my part. And then number four, you can make a commitment to seek ways to bless our Fountain Hills community with the love of Jesus. When you and I finish here on Sunday morning and we spill out into our community and we go to our places of work and recreation and shopping and involvements, we can share the love of Jesus as opportunities become available to us. And so seek ways. Look for open doors and then be available and say, okay, God, use me here. And then number five, you can make a commitment to give a generous financial support to God's work here at Fountain Hills Presbyterian. God is at work here. Things are being accomplished here. And we just want you to be aware of that. And I'll be sharing some things as I move through this message. So there you have it. Stewardship is not a difficult time. It's a wonderful time to make these kinds of commitments to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to our church and to one another. Can you imagine what this next year would be like here if every person in our church would make that kind of commitment? What would happen? Let's let God show us. Now, perhaps, I'm a realist here, so perhaps some of you find yourself fretting a bit. It's stewardship time. I'm feeling a bit uneasy. I'm worried. I'm even agitated as I think about stewardship commitment. All they want is my money. No, no. We want your prayers. We want your involvement. We want your presence. That's what's vital. So you may find yourself actually stewing over stewardship. The dictionary defines the word stew like this: a state of agitation, uneasiness, worry, fretting. I hope that's not true of you, but I understand it could be, because sometimes we feel the pressure to make a commitment and we just don't know quite what we can do. So let me share with you some very important ways in which you and I can take the stew out of stewardship. Number one, I want you to remember during stewardship season, as you make your commitment, I want you to remember to whom you are giving. You are not giving to the church in Fountain Hills. Now follow me. You're giving to God. And Fountain Hills Church becomes the conduit, the means of distributing your gifts, your talents, and your skills. Look how Paul puts it in the passage that was read for us from 2 Corinthians. I draw your attention to the next screen. It's 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Look at that for a moment as I just walk you through it. Each person is called to participate. Each one. You're all needed. You know, you and I want to be in a place where we feel we're needed and wanted. You're here. You're in the right place. You're needed and you're wanted, each one. And then notice Paul goes on to say, each person is to give what has been prayerfully decided in their heart. We're not asking you to give a snap decision. We're not asking you to just speak off the top of your head, well, I'll do this. No. Think about it. Pray about it. Let your heart lead you. Thirdly, Paul says that no one is to give out of a sense of obligation or manipulation. We don't want to manipulate you into doing anything. That's not the gospel way. We just want you to join in the thrill of blessing the lives of others through the gospel, not reluctantly. And then would you notice that when your commitment is made like this, you will be full of joy. I got to point out something that's very, very interesting about the Greek word for cheerful giver here. You ready for this? The Greek word for cheerful giver means hilarious. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you consider what it is you're going to contribute to the church, and I'm not talking just about money now, I'm talking about your time, your talents, your involvement. When you think about that for this next year, and then you make that commitment to Jesus and to the church, every time we have offering time, I want to see you laughing. because we're doing it for Jesus. Let me tell you the story, true story, of a man by the name of William Borden. The year was 1903, and the future was brimming with great promise for young Bill. He was a bright young high school graduate from Chicago. William was an unusual teenager, most probably because he was a millionaire. He was heir to the Borden dairy fortune. Life was rich with possibilities, and the world was waiting for him to discover it. In fact, that's literally what young Bill did after he graduated from high school. He discovered the world. He traveled around the globe for 1 year. He encountered foreign cultures and explored intriguing places, and everywhere he went, he was touched by the desperate needs of people all around him. In a letter to his parents, he announced that he had decided to devote his life to missionary service. In effect, he had decided to give up all the pleasures of his position, all the advantages at his disposal. And in his Bible, he wrote two words: no reservation. In the fall of 1905, William Borden enrolled at Yale University. One of his classmates later wrote this about him: he came to college far ahead spiritually of any of us. We who were his classmates learned to lean on him and find in him a strength that was solid as a rock just because of his settled purpose and consecration. At Yale, Borden was not only an exceptional student, but a gifted leader, personally spearheading a movement of spiritual renewal on campus. So powerful was the movement that was caused by him that over 1,000 of Yale's 1,300 students attended weekly Bible study. Off campus, Borden was active as well, rescuing down and outers and drunks from the streets of New Haven. He established Yale Hope Mission to give them a place of refuge and rehabilitation. Upon his graduation from Yale, William could have moved directly into the huge family business or taken any number of jobs. But his intentions to become a missionary never wavered. For him, there remained only one more stage of preparation, a course of theological studies at Princeton Theological Seminary, which he completed in 2 years. And after receiving his degree, William was ready to take the boldest step of all. He secured a one-way ticket to Egypt. There, he would learn Arabic to reach Muslims with the gospel of Jesus. Leaving family and fortune behind, he set sail across the Atlantic, and on the way, he wrote two more words in his Bible: no retreating. William arrived in Cairo full of anticipation and ready for the challenge. With customary zeal, he immersed himself in the task at hand. But within days, he became very weak. He had been stricken with spinal meningitis, and it was a force he would not be able to withstand. A short time later, William Whiting Borden died at the age of 25. When news of William's death was cabled from Egypt, tears flowed and hearts ached an ocean away. One biographer wrote this: it seemed as though a wave of sorrow went around the world, for William Borden not only gave his wealth, but he gave himself in a way so joyous and natural that it was manifestly a privilege rather than a sacrifice. Now you and I hear that story, and we're tempted to say, what a waste. But that was not William's perspective. During the last fleeting days of his life, he took his pen and wrote into his Bible two additional words: no regrets. The legacy of William Borden can be summed up in those six poignant words that he wrote into his Bible: no reservation, no retreating, no regrets. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, no sacrifice or commitment is too great to give to the one who gave his all for us. You want to take the stew out of stewardship? Remember to whom you are giving. But here's the second. Remember why you're giving. We don't give to put our name on a plaque, or to name a building after us, or to be written up in the newsletter or the bulletin. We give simply because we love Jesus and he means so much to us. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus in the Bible? Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus. Jesus saw him up that tree, you will recall, and had him come down and went home with Zacchaeus. And after that visit, Zacchaeus was never the same man because he had encountered Jesus. There's an old legend that says after his conversion, Zacchaeus would get up very early every morning and he would leave the house every morning. His wife wondered, what in the world is he doing? She became curious, even concerned. And so she followed him one morning and hid. She noticed that he took a bucket and he stopped at the town's well and he filled the bucket with water. He then carried the full bucket to a sycamore tree. And after cleaning the debris and the rubbish around the tree, Zacchaeus then would slowly empty the water at the base of the tree. He would then climb up into the tree and appeared to be in deep concentration, and his wife could take it no more. And she stepped out of hiding and said, Zacchaeus, what in the world are you doing? And Zacchaeus said, oh, why, dear, this is the place that I met Jesus. When we remember why it is that we're giving, we don't stew. We give willingly and freely. Here's a third way you can take the stew out of stewardship. Remember what your giving is accomplishing. Does the giving of your time, talent, and finances here make any difference, you think? Are we really making a dent in the world, our community? And maybe you ask yourself that. That's a legitimate question to ask yourself. I ask myself that as I participate in various things. Am I making a difference? Well, let me just tell you this, my dear friends. It certainly made a difference to those folks who received food from the food bank here in town that you supported. It made a difference to the lives touched at the Phoenix Rescue Mission and the Changing Lives Center where you provided meals and water. It made a difference to some abused women at the women's shelter in Scottsdale that you support. It made a difference with the youth at the Boys and Girls Club here in town as you provided funds for those kids' after-school snacks. It made a difference for preschool children at Here We Grow where you provided scholarships. It made a difference to our U.S. vets as you helped provide mattresses for homeless housing and water to the American Legion that they distributed to the homeless of Phoenix. It made a difference to the Fountain Hill students as you supplied food through the Arizona Brain Foods Organization. It made a difference to the elderly of our community as you helped provide Christmas gifts through Santa for seniors. It made a difference to the children who receive their Operation Christmas Shoebox. It made a difference to Project Hope in Haiti as orphaned children and destitute families were blessed with hope through your giving. It made a difference to the needy around the world as you supported the Church World Service Blanket Ministry. Does it make a difference? You bet it does. Keep it up. Lives are being touched with the grace and love of Jesus. Let me give you a final way you can take this stew out of stewardship. And that is to just pause and remember what God has given to you. I don't know whether you noticed it as it was being read. It's easy to miss. The very last verse of this chapter, Paul just explodes with praise. And he says this, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Now, you got to put that in context. All the verses up to that point, Paul's talking to the people about them giving. They need to give, each one, as it says there on the text, give. And so Paul can contain it no longer, and he says, "Hey, folks, we got to put this in proper perspective. The reason why we're generous and we give our time and we give our talent, we give our energies and we give our creativity and we give our money, the reason we do it is because of God's indescribable gift to us of a Savior who loves us even though we don't deserve to be loved, who forgives us even though we don't deserve to be forgiven, who reserves for us a place in heaven even though we don't deserve to be there. What an indescribable gift. And I want to tell you something, folks. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Let's join together. We're in this with you. Jeanette and I, we're going to make our commitment to you. We're in this with you. Let's do it. Our time, our talents, our skills, our abilities, our creativity, and yeah, some bucks. And let's make this church a flourishing, growing church that God mightily blesses. You with it? Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, these are your children. These are your people. You died on the cross for them. You've washed away their sins. You've cleansed them. You've put your Spirit inside them. We're on this great journey. And the great journey is to spread this good news to as many people as possible in ways that we wouldn't be able to do on our own, but there are ministries and programs out there that we can tap into and give our support to, as we have done down through the years. This is a new year. It's been tough financially. It's been tough in lots of different ways. We're at each other's throats here in this country of ours. We're so divided. We're so angry. But I pray that you will settle down upon us here as your children and give us the love of Jesus and give us the grace to make a difference right here in this community in a way that would honor you and glorify you and would lift up and bless others. I pray this in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen indeed. Well, you know, folks, we are going to ask you during this time of stewardship to share your gifts. And we don't just mean money. Please understand that. Yes, of course it takes money. You've got to keep the lights on and the air conditioning going and all of that good stuff. You all know that. But I'll tell you what's most important thing is for you to be here. You, your presence, and then your involvement, finding a place and saying, I can do that. I'll serve there. I can work with you on that. I'll join that team. That's what we need. And so I want you to think about that as we hear this music, Waiting for the Lord, as Dorothy plays. I want you to think about, what can you give this next year of time and talent and treasure that would be a blessing to others? Let's share together.